WBAI New York. We're at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Make your calls now. It's 10 o'clock. Coming up next, Vantage Point with Professor Ron Daniels.
Good morning. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, and for a little while longer, distinguished lecturer at York College, City University of New York, welcoming you to this May 21st edition of Vantage Point. That's the Fun Drive edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's the York College radio station. Where I have to go later today, it's final exam week, and we have to go in, and the students are anxious because we have to get those final exams and get their grades in and all that good stuff. So, first and foremost, I do want to thank all of those people who turned out for my final lecture as distinguished lecturer at York College last Thursday. It was a great event, really, really wonderful, powerful, fun. And our president actually led stuff off because she was the dancing people's president. We had almost like a second line going with the Shep Heptep drummers and so forth. Really a very, very fun occasion. And Don Rojas, who will be joining us later, will soon have the entire presentation up on the IBW website. Quickly, let me also say that we're honored to continue to play a leading role with recruiting WBAI buddies. We kind of fell back for a minute, but you rushed to the forefront last week and put us back in the front again. WBAI buddies is what we're pushing real hard. And as Michael G. Haskin, our chief announcer, has said, we're really excited that people are actually signing up, and that's a good thing. But I want to really, really, really like keep in the forefront. And so today, in particular, I got a goal of getting at least 10 WBAI buddies today. And that means that anybody who signs up for at least $10, $10 a month, $120 per year, can, be a sustaining member. You do that through your checking account or through your credit card. And, you also get a tote bag, you get a membership card, all kind of benefits. But the main thing you get is the gift that you give to keep WBAI thriving on the air. So we really, really want to continue to push that very hard. In fact, we want to talk about doubling down for Daniels today, because for some of you, we hope that you'll also get the premium for today that we're going to be promoting during the rest of the program. And that premium is Stand on Truth, Reparatory Justice Now. This is a premium dealing with reparations. Now, as I travel through the community, people are often asking me, what about reparations? How's it going? So forth and so on. So people know that IBW is very much involved in the reparations movement and struggle, and that the station really supported that really, really powerful gathering we had about 2 years ago where we brought people together from over 22 nations. So we have a premium today. And that includes speeches by Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and yes, Dr. John Henry Clark, and many others. Now, it's a little bit more this week, $125, but it is six DVDs, six. And you have all an incredible amount of information that you'll receive on the reparations movement, and you need to have it. So we're going to be promoting that strong during the course of today's show. Now, joining us for our discussion, let me just see if we make sure we have our guests lined up. We have a problem. Looks like we're not able to reach our guest in Bermuda. We're trying to reach our guest in Bermuda, and it looks like we're not able to do that. Unfortunately, we had Dr. Vereen Shepherd standing by, And I don't know how to sort of reach her at this stage. And actually, it's really to have her call in. It's not kind of what we do. And I suppose we really should have tried to hook it up by Skype. So that is a great loss, because Dr. Vereen Shepherd is the vice chairperson of the CARICOM Reparations Commission. And that's one of the things, hopefully, as we continue to build the station, we'll be able to. I know before we have actually reached people. We've done interviews with people in Jamaica. We've done interviews with people in Colombia, actually. So I really was not aware we could not pull her in. So actually what we're going to do is the chief announcer is going to check with Don Rojas. Don Rojas is actually standing by in case somehow we were not able to reach Dr. Vereen Shepherd to join us in for this segment. So hopefully the chief announcer will reach him and apprise me of same, and we'll discuss with him the same issues that we would have discussed with Dr. Vereen Shepherd, who unfortunately will be waiting for us to call but will not be able to hear us. But yeah, we'll apologize and we'll get that done. But anyway, we want to talk about why it's important to know what's going on in the reparations movement, which is growing incredibly, very, very, very strong, the reparations movement is. And that includes the reason why we wanted to lead with the CARICOM reparations, movement is because they've been playing a leading role. Actually, we're going to take a break at this point and get right back to you as we try to resolve how we're going to proceed. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Vatican, message 3.
I do believe and stand by, Dr. Shepherd, Professor Shepherd, will have, yes, okay, great. We are so happy to have you. Dr. Daniels, Ron Daniels, will be joining us in a moment, and you'll be speaking with him. This is WBAI in New York, and Ron Daniels is standing by. So if we could get Professor Daniels at the phone, he'll be joining us in just a moment. This is WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. And Ron Daniels is joining us. Professor Daniels, good morning.
Good morning. I understand we now have Dr. Vereen Shepherd. We had a little bit of a technical challenge. How are you, Dr. Shepherd?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Yes, our apologies. We had to actually try to reach you by Skype, and that was just a little technical difficulty that I hadn't been aware of until we actually started doing it, and we had a little panic moment, but I'm sure you'll calm us down, because I told him that you would come and just bless us with such tremendous knowledge in terms of the work that we're doing, that you're doing in with the reparations movement. So let me cut right to it, because we've lost some valuable time. The last time I saw you, it was such a wonderful occasion, because I was in Jamaica and glad to be there at the University of West Indies campus in Mona as the launch was occurring, and you were the one who were presiding over it and the key player really moving forward. I may be pronouncing it wrong, but at the Reparations Research Center at the University of the West Indies. So could you talk to us about the goals and objectives of that research center and how it's doing?
Absolutely. Quite happy to. We're very excited at the University of the West Indies to have had this center, the Center for Reparation Research, which actually came alive because of the initiative of our Vice Chancellor, Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, his activism and advocacy, and also because of the directive of CARICOM. The heads of government of CARICOM in 2013 had laid out a path towards activism around the issue of reparatory justice. And part of that was the establishment of the CARICOM Reparation Commission, the establishment of national commissions in each territory, and then the establishment of this research center. So we are not even a year old yet, but it's very exciting. We were happy to have you at the launch. And basically, we have three objectives. The first is to create, through public education, awareness in not just in the country where we are located, Jamaica, but across the world about reparatory justice. What is reparation? Why it's necessary? What's its historical justification? Then we are supposed to have workshops to train activists, to train those who wish to be in the movement but, you know, don't know much about it. And then advocacy, because research and advocacy go hand in hand. We have to engage in advocacy around the issue of reparatory justice. So those are our terms of reference, and we are busy creating a network of scholars, a network of researchers to work with us, to have visiting professors and researchers in our center, and just to do the work that's necessary. So up and running. We were happy to have you at the launch and to have so many people there with us. And we are doing what we're supposed to do.
Right. And that's why I wanted to, because today you were not able to get our introduction, but because we are in our fund drive.
I listened to you. I heard everything.
Oh, okay. Great.
I was tuning to you.
Okay, wonderful. That's one of the great things about the internet, because we're talking about reparations today, and I want our audience to understand that the reparations movement has never been as robust as it is now, and it is largely, I think, because of the tremendous initiative our brothers and sisters have taken in the Caribbean, and particularly the heads of state that push forward with the creation of the CARICOM Reparations Commission. So would you talk to us a bit about the work of the commission? What kinds of things are occurring? Sort of what is the status of how the movement is developing in relationship to the CARICOM commissions?
Okay. Before I do that, though, just allow me to say that although I agree with you that I don't think we've ever had such a heightened global attention on the issue of reparation, I do want to pay respect to all enslaved Africans in our region, those on the continent that fought against enslavement. I want to honor the Rastafari because they kept this burning because of their desire for repatriation and their activism around the issue of getting those who committed this crime against humanity to make amends for it. So I want to honor all those who were in the movement before I joined the movement, you know?
Right.
And so, yes, the other Rastafari was taking this on. But of course, now that they have been joined by academics, by politicians, and by others around the world, we are very excited about the stage we have reached now. So yes, the heads of government initiated the establishment of the CARICOM Reparation Commission. We have drawn up a 10-point action plan for reparatory justice. And I think this has caught on in so many places. Everywhere I go, I hear people talking about the 10-point action plan. And people are also adding to it, adding their, you know, taking it and indigenizing it where they are. But having a template, it represents a template. Our 10-point action plan begins with the call for an apology. We want, in honor of Rastafari and those who want to repatriation, Indigenous Peoples Development Program, we want technology advancement, attention to education and health and the social infrastructure, debt write-off, and so on. So psychological repair. So we have this template. Now, recent developments, we have written to all the heads of countries that were involved in the historic trafficking. We have received replies from almost all of them, and we are not satisfied with the response, so we are writing again. But in the meantime, we are assembling a group of lawyers so that we can explore a legal route to reparatory justice. We are not going to stop. And the recent controversy, and I would say more than controversy, the Windrush scandal in the UK has energized the movement. And I can talk a little bit more about that if people are not aware of what happened in the UK recently towards Caribbean migrants.
Well, we're sort of short on time. So what I want to do is to say, first of all, yes, it's a template, the 10-point program, because we in the United States, particularly in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, took that template and we developed the National African American Reparations Commission, and we have developed a 10-point program, and we used the CARICOM Reparations Commission's 10-point program as the template. We really looked at it, examined it, and we, as you use, indigenized it, or we adopted it to the conditions of the United States. And this synergy and energy between the NARC and the CARICOM Commission has been an incredible relationship that has helped to energize the movement in the United States. I want to talk about Professor Sir Hilary Beckles and his role, because we're going to be listening to him a great deal on the show today in terms of pitching the premium. Would you talk about his role as, I think, the global spokesperson almost now for the reparations movement?
I think one of the reasons he's so important is that he just He doesn't just talk. He acts on the message. And I think, and people see him as authentic. And one of the other reasons is that he's talking about his lived experience.
Right.
You know, he's talking about the experiences of his ancestors, his grandmother and great-grandmother, people who worked on plantations in Barbados and are connected to those who received compensation at the time of emancipation. He's talking about his experience as a child in Birmingham, growing up in the UK, and the racist environment in which he grew up. And he's talking as a historian who understands that you have to engage in applied history. History is not just a discipline to be studied and to be left at the university door when you leave. So, and then because he has positions of power, he's using that for the common good.
Right.
And he has now institutionalized through the reparation research at UWI this dream of taking this and making it a political struggle. So I think for all those reasons, and because he's so popular and he gets invited to all these spaces, he has access to all these spaces, including Parliament, House of Commons in the UK, he has been taking this message. He's committed to it, he's passionate, and he's knowledgeable,
right.
And he's authentic. And I think that's why people know that we are in good, the movement is in good hands. But he has to train people to carry on, to help spread the message, and this is why the national committees in the CARICOM region and all the other reparation commissions that have evolved globally, you know, feeding off what we have done. I think that's why it's so important.
Yeah, and let me just say to Professor Shepherd, you too have just been invaluable as the vice chair of the commission, you know, working with him, but also in your own
yes.
right, just brilliantly and ably representing and telling the story. Every time you present, including your recent presentation last year at the Congressional Black Caucus, you know, bringing
yes,
in the story.
Yes, I was honored to have been invited. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So you do a wonderful job, too. And thank you so much this morning for taking time out from your busy schedule. We know you're down in Bermuda, and I know you're doing some organizing and some teaching.
Yes, I am, because you know that we have to take on the non-independent countries, and we have to get them into the movement. Bermuda is an associate to CARICOM, so therefore it's legitimate to be here and to be talking about the next steps, because we are realizing that it's one thing to say 400 years ago something happened. It's another thing to say that those who committed that historic crime have not learned the lessons of the past and they continue to oppress black people. So it is not only a movement about past wrongs. It's
right.
a movement about continuing harm. And I was in Berlin recently, and they have actually taken on the 10-point action plan in Berlin and in other parts of the world. You
right.
know, so it's very interesting. And I just thank you for the work that you have done, Dr. Daniels, and the work which I know you will continue to do as we make this a global.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and we know your work is going to be successful. Thank you so much.
And I'll continue to listen to your program today. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, well, look, that's the great reach. Now, she's in Bermuda, but she's listening to WBAI because we're on WBAI.org, and that's the other power of this reach. And by the way, every week that we do a show here on Vantage Point, we send it out throughout the country and throughout the world through our database. We now want to hear a part of our premium, and we're going to be featuring the premium includes Ta-Nehisi Coates, of course, the brilliant scholar whose work, The Case for Reparations, helped to inspire and to motivate and a whole generation of people to begin to look at reparations. And of course, 2 weeks ago we had Dr. John Henry Clark. He's on there. There are many, many others. But I wanted to focus on Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, because he's just such a passionate, but humble, but powerful spokesperson for this movement. So we're now going to hear an excerpt from the premium from Professor Sir Hilary Beckles.
Slavery. I grew up hearing about slavery from my great-grandmother. It wasn't remote. It was in my household. We heard about it. People spoke about it. It's part of the culture of our domestic lives. It wasn't a long time ago. It's very much present So we cannot use the remoteness concept. Then, of course, we have the issue about reparations. Take the reparations issues off the agenda. We will give you aid. So you can choose whether the strategy going forward in your international relations is built around the concept of aid, or whether it's built around the concepts of mutual empowerment for development, where many of you in this country, I'm sure that when St. Vincent and the Grenadines became an independent nation, I am sure that many of you were living in communities without running water in your households, without paved roads in your communities. I'm sure many of you ask the question, why is it here in the middle of the 20th century that we are living in villages without proper roads, without running water, with one little school per parish or whatever it is? And you took that for granted. That is not the best you could do. That is what you were expected to accept. That is what you were expected to accept, because a low value was placed on you because of the history, and you got no running water, you got no roads. And you live in those communities after 300 years. All of that is based on what you call a value assessment. What value have we placed on you, and what are you worth within the context of the British Empire? And so these are the arguments that the British government has rolled out in the last 10 years. It was no crime. We legalize it. Two, colonization is over. Take responsibility for yourself. Racism is in the past. Now you have black governments. Get on with it. History is irrelevant. Stop whining and think of the future. We enslave you. We regret, but no apology. Now, we are developed because we have a culture. Now, go and get a culture. If you go and get a culture, you will get development. You are poor because you have no culture. There is enough wealth in the Caribbean that you can manage to remove your poverty. Yes, the native population was wiped out, but it's not our fault. It was survival of the fittest, and we, the Europeans, are the fittest. You were not fit, you got wiped out. We are in the European Union now, and the Caribbean is behind us. The slavery in the Caribbean is behind us. We have given you independence. We have cut the cord. We are now in the European Union. We have no responsibility for you. Those were the arguments that we encountered coming out of the British state. But this book says, not so fast. Slow down. Not so fast. You have a responsibility in the Caribbean that you have to honor. You have a case to answer. You have a case. You have a moral, a political, and a legal case to answer. You cannot commit these crimes against these people. Enrich yourselves out of their labor. Walk away and leave them in poverty. No, 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 no. You have to come back to this place and participate in the removal of some of these legacies that you have left behind. And I can tell you, no Caribbean government will have the resources in the next 30 to 40 years to deal with these legacies. You will not have the resources to deal with these consequences. In fact, poverty is increasing in the Caribbean because the Western world has adopted a different approach towards these societies. The governments will not have the resources to uproot the poverty that has been left behind. They have done a commendable job thus far. The resources will not be there to attack it frontally and remove it. The British government has a responsibility to come back and participate in this conversation about development. And this is what reparations is. Reparations is not about people standing around on street corners and getting handouts. And bear in mind that the British government and the other European governments have launched a campaign to discredit the concept of reparations. They know they have to pay it. They know that they have to deal with it sooner or later. But what do you do in the first place? You discredit the concept. Oh, reparations is about black people standing around on street corners expecting handouts. And that is how they define it. They want you to define it that way, because once it's defined that way, it becomes ridiculous. That is not what reparations is. It begins with you saying, we have committed a crime against you, and for this we apologize. And then the consequences, we will participate in dealing with them with you. So it is about partnership. It is not about conflict. It is not about confrontation. It's about helping the British people to rise up to their full potential as a nation. I can tell you, I have spent maybe 20 years of my life in Britain. I went to high school in Britain. My parents were part of that migration to Britain in the 50s to work in the factories. One minute I was in a plantation village in Barbados, the next minute I was in a city. I was a part of that migration to work in the British factories. I went to high school there, I went to university there. My family is there. Most of my family are British citizens. I like Britain. I spend most of my summers in Britain. I like England. But I would like to help Britain to get over this, to come and be the nation that it can be.
Okay, all right. That is the voice that Dr. Vereen Shepherd talked about, and I've talked about. We have worked with him very closely in the last 2 or 3 years. He is absolutely amazing, because he not only talks about it from a scholarly perspective, he brings us back into the evidence of what happened, not only in his own life, but he just tells the narrative in a way that makes you almost ashamed that we're not fighting for reparations. In fact, he often says that, you know, we should be ashamed that we're not standing up to, in fact, redress the grievances of what was done to our ancestors and the legacy that we now have to suffer with because of enslavement. And by the way, the 10-point program that CARICOM has put forward, they begin by talking, or the whole mandate was reparations for Native genocide, a principal position. They begin with recognizing the dispossession and the genocidal attack and the fact that the Native people were wiped out so that they're made whole. See, I like that because that's consistent with the principle, the African-centered principle of Maat, the sense of righteousness and justice that's so important that I keep pounding on and talking about, because that's who we are as a people. And then he talks about, of course, the consequences of the Holocaust, of the of enslavement and the generations of degradation and oppression which Caribbean people suffered, and of course this, by extension, the same thing here in the United States, which really built the commercial and industrial revolution. And yet, you know, the Caribbean region is suffering. He talks about the mess that has been created. And even in the United States, even though we, you know, we think we're doing well, there's this huge wealth gap that's there. But even in some ways, if it were not a wealth gap, the reality is there needs to be an apology. There needs to be atonement. There needs to be repair made as a consequence of this. And that's what this reparations movement is all about. As Professor Sir Hilary Beckles is at the forefront of articulating and leading us. And so his voice is prominent on the premium that we have today. And that premium is Stand Up on Truth, Reparatory Justice Now. It's a 6-DVD set. That means you have hours and hours of information and speeches and interviews with people like not only Professor Sir Hilary Beckles that we're featuring, but Ta-Nehisi Coates, the young, brilliant scholar with the Atlantic Monthly Magazine, the Atlantic Magazine, that is, that, of course, did the case for reparations. And he's done other pieces as well. In fact, we had the privilege of having he and Professor Hilary Beckles and Camilo Gonzalez, the foreign minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, about 3 years ago at the Congressional Black Caucus. It was just through the roof. It was such a powerful, powerful gathering. Well, we want to use these premiums to energize the reparations movement in this country, which is what we have been doing with the National African American Reparations Commission. So, yes, it's $125, but $125 is and is not a lot of money. And so there are, in our audience, hundreds, if not thousands of people who can afford $125 if you believe in the cause or if you want to learn about the cause. And I'm not too smart. I just sort of know how to say the same things over and over again because I believe in them. We need these premiums as tools that we can utilize to educate ourselves, to motivate ourselves, to organize ourselves, to be about the business of gaining reparations. And as I said in my final lecture at York College the other day, you know, in some ways, and Professor Hilary Beckel stresses this, the victory is in the striving. That is to say, to become sufficiently aware and righteously outraged to understand that we should not accept that which happened to us without demanding repair. It's almost a sin that we don't do so. The fact that we don't do so almost speaks to the fact that we are asleep, that we've been anesthetized. It's as Malcolm said, we've like we have Novocaine. We have been suffering peacefully. And our ancestors cannot be happy with that. And so it's about our awakening. That's a part of the repair. A part of the reparations is the repair of our own souls. And that's why this is so incredible. And I believe in it. I've always believed in it. But I got to tell you that having the association with our brothers and sisters in the CARICOM, in the Caribbean region, the CARICOM Reparations Commission that we met with, and all the energy that's been generated, it has been so encouraging to me personally. That helps me continue this fight. So we want you to get this premium. My goal is just 15 people. That's not a big number. 15 really should be more. But there's got to be 15 people who believe in the cause sufficiently that you will dial right now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And say, yes, I want this premium. This premium today, stand up on truth, reparatory justice now, a 66 DVD set with speeches by Professor Sir Hilary Beckel, Ta-Nehisi Coates, John Henry Clark, of course, and no needs no introduction to this audience. All of them talking about the necessity for reparations. It's a wake-up tool. It's an inspirational tool. So go to your phones right now. Thank you. Got our first call. 516-620-3602. 15 people. I need 15 people. Now, the other thing I'm striving to do today is not everybody can afford $125 right now. But there are those of you in the audience who can, in fact, do $10 a month in order to become a DBAI buddy. Some of you can even do more than that. You may be able to do $25. You may be able to do $50. I'm a WBAI buddy because I believe in the cause. I have been pounding on this every time I've been on the air. And thankfully, the management and so forth have recognized that. And they've sort of said, well, you know, that guy Ron Daniels, every time he goes on the air, the professor is pushing WBAI buddies. And so now that's been kind of infectious. And not that other people weren't doing it, but I certainly just, I believe in it. I believe we've got to do this. WBAI has got to not only survive, it's got to thrive. And one of the ways to do that is by having sustaining members. And if we have sustaining members, we won't have to do as many pledge drives every year. Now, I think the pledge drives are important because I think we need to connect, and we also need to be able to have you have access to this enormous treasure trove of archival material that WBAI has. I mean, the information here is vast, and ignorance is not bliss. It's catastrophic. Knowledge is power, and so there's tremendous power here, and so we want to get at least 10 today, 10. When the roll is called this week, I want them to say that Vantage Point had 10, and that's not a huge goal, 10 people who also signed up to be WBAI buddies. So you can do both by calling right now, 516-620-3602. Now, there's some people who can afford the $125, and you may say, but I'm also going to sign up as a WBAI buddy. That's my Double Down for Daniels package. That's right, Double Down. Double down for Daniels and Vantage Point on in behalf of WBAI. Sign up for the $125, and while you're on the airway, say, yeah, I can afford it. I could sacrifice something, or not even sacrifice something. I've got sufficient resources. I've been blessed to have sufficient resource, even in the middle of the struggle that we have as people of African descent in this country, to be able to afford to contribute to the struggle. I'm doing $125, and I'm signing up also to be a WBAI buddy. That's a double down for Daniel's proposition, and we really, really want to do that. And by the way, I can't get away from the quote from Professor James Small last week, who said this: WBAI is the Malcolm of the media. Y'all remember him saying that last week? That was so powerful, because we were commemorating last week and pushing the premium around Malcolm X, and he came on to say, yeah, you know, I was in fact inspired by having listened to WBAI. And it is the closest thing to the voice of Malcolm on the airways. So he said WBAI is the Malcolm of the media. That's what we have here. And as a part of this resistance, we got to keep this alive. And I know we're going to do this, right? I know we're going to do this. We're going to be optimistic. We're going to be hopeful, because it is that hope. It is that optimism that fuels the resistance. Not only the resistance, but it is the vision of transformation. The possibilities that we can not only rescue and save ourselves, we can rescue this country, we can rescue this world with humility, with dignity, with a sense of righteousness, not arrogance, the kind of arrogance that we see flowing from, you know, all of those who are associated with the orange man. We're not going down that road. We, you know, Michelle Obama said, we go high, all right? And it is in the height of our righteousness, really, that we will create a revolution of values. And Martin Luther King says that will change the world. We have that possibility. We have that potential. Thank you. Second call. We're making some progress. 516-620-3602. Again, we are pushing, promoting, pumping the premium. Reparations is an issue whose time has come. It has always been here. Professor Vereen Shepherd started by saying, yes, let's honor all of those who came before us. This long, long struggle in this country, from those who were like Callie House, you know, who set up an association to try to get restitution. And of course, you know, she met the same fate as Marcus Garvey in some ways, as they tried to defame her and delegitimize her efforts. I mean, there's just been so many people. Queen Mother Moore was my mentor. She's the one who just had me understand the necessity of reparations. Remember her in 1972 at the Gary National Black Political Convention, standing in the hallway saying to all these elected officials and activists, you have to get your reparations. You have to get your reparations. I didn't know anything about reparations. How could I be a black person in America and not know about reparations? But thank God I ran into Queen Mother Moore, and she just helped me to see how important it was. And I've been on that trek ever since. When I ran as an independent candidate for president in 1992, reparations was a part of my plank. I don't go anywhere in terms of policy discussions in which I do not raise the issue of reparations, which was included in my final lecture last week at York College. I raised the issue of reparations because we cannot back away from it. In fact, in some respects, this is the biggest challenge for we as people of African descent to embrace it ourselves. Can I be ashamed of it? Can I be talking about what's possible? It may not be possible. Well, you know, nothing's possible if you don't conceive it. If you can't conceive it, you can't achieve it. We can do this. It may not happen in my lifetime. That's irrelevant. My job, my task, my mission is to push pass the baton on, having carried it further than the last generation. And that is what Professor Vereen Shepherd was talking about in her eloquent salute to the Rastafari. And I got to say, when being in Jamaica, I really had an even greater appreciation for the Rastafari. Their depth of understanding, their depth of commitment, not only to repatriation, but to the issue of reparations. I always respected them, but I just didn't, being there to hear their voices, to interface with them, was incredible. And that's the depth and breadth of this reparation movement, which is at a high point now in history. So go to your phones. We're pitching this premium. Again, Stand on Truth, Reparatory Justice Now, a six DVD set, which has speeches by Professor Sir Hilary Beckles. You just heard your first excerpt from him. We're going to hear from him again in a moment because I want to feature him because I want everybody to know about Professor Sir Hilary Beckles. We had him here at York College. He spoke. He's been at the Congressional Black Caucus on more than one occasion. He was with the National African American Reparations Commission in New Orleans. And again, an electrifying presentation in New Orleans. This person needs to be known, not because we're just personifying him per se. It's because he encapsulates the vision of what it is that we want. It's not he wants to become the leader, quote unquote. That's not the point. The point is, every now and then, a voice emerges from among the masses that really, really epitomizes that which we seek, symbolizes it, captures it, and inspires us in a way that is beyond them as a personality. It is that it's almost like the ancestors, God and the ancestors, bestowing upon them a special blessing to help lead in the spirit. That's who Professor Hilary Beckles is. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. That is to get our premium for today. Our goal, at least 15 people. At least 15 people in the course of the next hour and 10 minutes. I wouldn't mind if you blew through that roof and got 25 or 30. But I just set a modest goal. It's $125. And I know people get, you know, $125. Well, you know, $125, I mean, it's not a lot of money. It really isn't a lot of money. For large numbers of black people. We were discussing this yesterday or day before yesterday, Pan-African Unity Dialogue. We are, yes, an oppressed people, but within those of us who are oppressed, there are those of us who have, we have $1.2 trillion of income. $1.2 trillion. And there are those among us who are really, really poor. Really, really catching more hell than ever before. We're not asking them for $125. We've got to put our arms around them. We've got to march with them. We're fighting to uplift all of our people, including the least of these among us. That is what the struggle is really all about. So we're not appealing. We're not begging them. We're not asking them. We're asking those of you who have jobs, who have benefited from the black liberation movement, the black freedom struggle, who have jobs that you never, ever would have had it not been for the civil rights, human rights, black power, black nationalist, human rights, civil rights struggle. You have disposable income. And a part of that income should be used, as Malcolm and Martin Luther King both urged us, as a weapon in the black freedom struggle, the unfinished black freedom struggle that I talked about in my final lecture at York College last week. Those resources need to be put at that disposal. You may not be on the front lines. You may not want to demonstrate. You may not want to go to jail. Well, that's fine. Some of us will. And I'm not criticizing if you don't. But if you have the resources, you know, those resources, really, and for me, as I said before, you know, I'm on WBAI today, but I've talked about, you know, other causes I'm looking at to try to support, because it's important that we use our resources as black people to support our own liberation. Because at the end of the day, no one else is going to save us but us in terms of putting our resources on the table. So I am just urging and I'm encouraging, and I want to and just say something today that will touch you in a way that says, I got to do this. I hear that voice from Professor Ron Daniels. I hear the urging, the pleading. I've not been there. I've not been doing my fair share. I've been doing some, but today I'm going to do even more. I'm going to be even more. I've even pledged to WBAI before. I've lapsed, but now I'm coming back, you know, because I see what is being done. I see the action that's also associated with the work that we do with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, as is exemplified and is amplified through WBAI. So $125, there's a lot of people out there who could afford $125. I'm just asking for like just 15. Really, well, got about four so far, but I really, people should just like be lining up to do this. So call us. I know you're out there. I know you may be hesitant, but don't hesitate. We got a volunteer standing by. They're not going to bite you. They're going to be warm and encouraging. They're going to be so excited to hear that you're calling in at 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602 to get this premium. And again, my goal today, a modest goal, and I want to hit this goal. I am confident that we are going to get at least 10 WBAI buddies. It's getting exciting. I'm hearing these reports now, and our people, Andrea Katz and others, are sending us these reports, and they're telling us people are signing up to become WBAI buddies. There's a new momentum. See, and that's what happens when people start getting on board. You start moving it. You start pushing that boulder. And all of a sudden, it starts to roll. And it's like, well, let's use the snowball effect, right? It's a small snowball at the top of the hill. It becomes an avalanche, gathering momentum. You know what I mean? So it's starting to get that momentum, and we're all excited about it. So at least 10 WBAI buddies. And what is a WBAI buddy? It's a person who decides that they're going to give at least $10 per month, at least $10 a month. And for that, you also get some benefits. You get a tote bag. You get a membership card. There are also some retail benefits that WBAI has put together, because there are different merchants who will recognize your card and therefore give you discounts and all of that stuff. All those good benefits come. But the bottom line is, the real gift is WBAI. It is the Malcolm of the media. The Malcolm of the media. So that's what we're supporting. As I said many times before, even if there were no premiums, we should support WBAI. But we also have the additional advantage. As we support WBAI, we also get these benefits. So 10 WBAI buddies. 10 WBAI buddies. So if you can't do the $125 today, but you can afford to do $10 a month, because it's painless. It comes out of your checking account or your credit card. Like I say, I'm a WBAI buddy. I can afford it. So I wasn't going to come on the air and ask you to do something I'm not prepared to do. I don't roll like that. I have to set the example. That's what organizers do. That's what leaders do. Servant leaders serve, and they exemplify, they set the tone. And I try to do that. And perfectly, of course. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I try to do the best I can. And I'm still growing. I'm still emerging. You know, God is not, and the ancestors are not finished with me yet. And that's a good thing. There's room for growing and developing. But I try to set the tone. And so it's painless. It just happens. I don't even know it. But I'm so glad it's there. I don't have to worry about it. I know that my obligation has been taken care of. Now, I double down, because that's the minimum. The contribution I made by way of WBI, but it's my minimum contribution. I pledge every pledge drive. I also put at least $100, at least $100, and sometimes even more than that on the table, because I can afford to do it. Now, everybody can't afford to do that. So again, you know, and we love all of you, and we appreciate all of you for what you do. And we appreciate those listeners for just listening in and benefiting from the knowledge. We're just encouraging you to move beyond listening to becoming radio activists, to become engaged by at least giving, to become engaged by at least giving, and giving sacrificially, or giving to a larger measure of your capacity. So again, some people can double down. And by that I mean, some people will sign up and say $125, and I'm also going to become a WBAI buddy. So go to the phones right now. We are making a little bit of progress. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602 to make your phone call right now. We're going to take another break here. Actually, not a break. We're actually going to play another excerpt from the premium that's going to further have you listen to the voice of Professor Sir Hilary Beckles. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by none other than James Early. There's been a big conference, two big conferences in Venezuela, and both of which dealt with reparations. We want to know the significance of those conferences, as well as to understand, you know, what's happening with the UN Decade for People of African Descent in relationship to reparations and other questions. So we're going to listen to the premium and come back in about 5 minutes or so with James Early. Let's now hear the voice. As you go to your phones, 516-620-3602, let's hear now the voice again of Professor Sir Hilary Beckles.
If you were a slave trader, there were two methods to bring your slaves to the market. One was called tight packing, one was called loose packing. Loose packing and tight packing are methodologies which the slave traders argued about which one was better. Tight packing says, if a ship has a capacity of 400, you jam 500 in. Jam them in and head across the Atlantic, top speed with the wind. If you lose 10% or you lose 20%, you get to the market, you still have an 80% cargo, you make a fortune. Each one is costing you about £2 per head, and you can sell them for 25, 30. So you recruit them at £2, you put them on the ship, jam them in, get across 8 weeks, and if you get to market, you make a killing. Another strategy was loose packing. If a ship had a capacity for 400, you put in 250. Give them more elbow room. Don't pack them in so tight and hope that you reduce the mortality. Fuel would die. You get to the market and you still make a killing. So the slave traders would debate which method was better for profitability. The Zong decided, Captain Colin Wood decided, on this voyage, he was going tight packing. So he packed in 300 and a 200 capacity ship, heading across the Atlantic, got in the middle of the Atlantic, and ran out of wind. Because these are sail ships. Captain error, navigational error, lost the breeze, the ship stalled. And here he's stuck in the middle of the Atlantic, can't move. No wind. He has a strategic decision to make, what to do. He is running out of food, and he is running out of water. He took the logical business decision. Throw them in the ocean, dump them all out, let the sharks eat them, turn the ship around, go back to England, and claim the insurance. Got his property. Claim the insurance. And that's what Captain Collingwood did. Threw them off, back to England, and claim the insurance. Sharks consume 200 or 300 of them. This case becomes famous because he claimed the insurance company began to question the claim. The insurance company said, we want more documentation. I mean, give us proof that you had no choice. Present the documents to show that you were out of water, you were out of food, you had no choice. Give us the documentation before we pay the claim. The case became controversial, and it went to the High Court. It went all the way to the High Court. And thus, the famous ruling of Judge Mansfield in the Zong Massacre. Judge Mansfield ruled, this is not a case of murder. This is a straightforward case of property insurance. And he added, it would have made no difference had there been so many cattle or horses on the ship. The result would have been the same. Because on that ship was property and not human beings. Therein lies the British court. The British court, the judiciary of Great Britain, in its own legal structure, that black people are not human beings. Therein lies the charge of reparations. Because to deny a people their human identity is a crime against humanity. And that is a case that the British judiciary, on behalf of the British state, established the principle once and for all that African peoples are not human. Well, we know how all of this impacted on St. Vincent. Keep going. We know all these interesting image of the indigenous peoples who were fighting their resistance and their struggles. We know the story of Chateauay. We know all of this dispossession and the crimes committed against the people on this island. We know that history. But herein comes now the critical issue, emancipation. Emancipation. Who is going to get reparations at emancipation? The slave owners insisted, if you are going to free our property, you pay us reparations. And we want reparations at the full market value of the Africans. We want reparations at the full market value. Every black person in the Caribbean, put the market value on them, and we want compensation at the full market value. And here is an interesting cartoon in the British press at the time. The politicians, the merchants, the judges, the financiers, all the leaders of British society are lining up for their reparations. Because these are the people who own the slaves. The judges, the financiers, the business people, the politicians, these are the people who own the slaves. And they are lining up for their reparations. The Africans are jumping for joy because they are free. But they're not getting reparations. They're getting something called freedom, no reparations. And this cartoonist captured precisely the conversation in the 1820s. Who get reparations, who don't get? That was a brilliant cartoon from the 1820s that depicts the conversation. But now we now have these images to deal with, these legacies. What are we going to do about these images now? The black woman whose child is taken from her and sold? The separation of the black family? Child sold down to one colony, mother sold somewhere else, the father sold somewhere else? That legacy, how do we deal with family now? And to say, black people, that our family values are weak, the fact of the matter is it has taken us from emancipation to rebuild family values, to rebuild the family system, because for 300 years, family was illegalized, family was destroyed. Continue. But this was the kind of family black people were asked to be a part of. Be the servant and the maid of the white family. That is your family. Keep going. This is the European conception of family.
Okay, all right. That is, again, the voice of Professor Sir Hilary Beckles. And you can see why so many of us are inspired the way we are. Because he tells the narrative. I mean, you hear the way that is discussed. It creates a sense of righteous anger. And I say righteous anger because otherwise we're not talking about being destructive, and this angry in and of itself and by itself is not helpful. We're now joined as a part of this pledge drive edition of Vantage Point. And again, the premium today is Stand Up on Truth, Reparatory Justice Now, 6-DVD set, which includes speeches by Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, whom we're featuring. There are others, but we're going to feature Beckles for a reason. We want you to hear this extraordinary human being who has become, he's emerged as the voice of the global reparations movement, the young, brilliant scholar Ta-Nehisi Coates, as well as the revered Dr. John Henry Clark. All of that for $125. $125 will get you that premium. You can continue to go to the phones, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Go to your phones right now. 516-620-3602. And when I get finished, I got an important message about some people who are, it's astounding, who has actually decided to purchase this premium. But I'll talk about that on the backside, because we've been joined by James Early, who is no stranger to the WBAI Pacifica listening audience. He's a treasure in and of himself, and he travels globally dealing with issues related to African descendants, particularly here in this hemisphere, and has just recently returned a couple of times from Venezuela, where there's been some very important developments. And so we welcome to our listening audience James Early. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you and your audience again.
And so I want you to, and I know you have a tight schedule because you've got another interview coming right behind this one. So would you just share with us the importance of the recent conferences in Venezuela dealing with the issue of reparations?
Well, first let me set just a little context. As the listening audience probably knows by seeing and listening to the U.S. mainstream press, Venezuela has a very intense internal ideological and political conflict between violent right-wingers, neoliberalists on the one hand, and then more moderate, not necessarily violent, neoliberalist, and some leftist socialists who are disgruntled in opposition to the socialist Bolivarian president, Nicolas Maduro, who just won about 68% of the presidential electoral vote yesterday. They've been under financial sanctions by the United States, that which has prevented them from moving in to deal with their financial situation. They're under heavy media attack and open threats of regime change. And in that context, they nevertheless have continued advancing their principles of democratic rights and participatory democracy for all of its citizens, especially the most historically marginalized Afro-descendants in particular, that Jesus Jucho Garcia, who is a principal founder of the Afro-Venezuelan Network, has recently indicated Afro-descendancy covers about almost 50% of the population. So that in the context of these threats against the government, it continues to advance the principles, or anti-racist principles, in convening in May, they inaugurated a Martin Luther King University, in April, actually. And then earlier in May, they convened, I think it's 43 people from the international arena who came together around the UN decade of Afro-descendants, the first country in Latin America really to launch a wide vantage point about the decade and issues of development, in which the issue of reparations was raised, and the president said that he would convene a gathering of an international legal team and also put this on the agenda of the Non-Aligned Movement as well as the ALBA movement and the Community of Latin American and Caribbean Nations. So we convened a few weeks ago, I think 43 people, I misspoke earlier about the first meeting, was 43 people from the international arena, including representatives from the UN who are from Gabon, who are supportive of this issue, Mede Fanon of the Fanon Foundation in Paris, who has been a rapporteur for the UN, and representatives from across the Caribbean and Latin America and the continent of Africa, to put together an agenda for a legal team which would also engage with Sir Hilary Beckles and the Center for Reparations at the University of the West Indies in Jamaica. There will be a reparations research commission established in Venezuela, and we will look at the entire region. And so this is a significant boost to the major initiative of for reparations, which is represented by Caribbean governments. You just heard Sir Hilary Beckles, and civil society citizens across the Caribbean who are pushing the representatives in CARICOM in the among the Caribbean countries to advance the development case of for reparations. Let me just stop by saying that Prime Minister Gonzalez from St. Vincent and the Grenadines was also at this recent meeting and spoke eloquently and forcefully, as usual, about the importance of going forth with the legal challenges and negotiating with the former colonizing governments to repair the deterioration in our communities and our health, in our psyche and our education system, in conjunction with our own initiative of what should be the plan and how to carry that forth. And he emphasized that this is a plan really about development of our communities as a result of the underdevelopment given the history of colonialism and slavery.
Yeah, and by the way, we led the show today with Professor Vereen Shepherd from Jamaica, who is the vice chairperson of the CARICOM Reparations Commission, and if I recall correctly, is actually the person who is leading the Center for Reparations Research at the University of the West Indies, which is a powerful new development. And so it's interesting that as we've been trying to share with our listening audience, the issue of reparations has, I can't remember being more robust than it is now in terms of you know, not downplaying who we are as activists and organizers and so forth, but it is the intersection of and driving force of civil society interacting with state actors, you know, heads of state and so forth, that is creating a whole new powerful international force, and particularly within the context of the UN decade, that is creating a tremendous amount of momentum. And I wish you'd sort of comment on that.
It has indeed, and I am very mindful at a personal level, and I share this as a way of uplifting my own burden, and also at the same time acknowledging the importance of continued attention to political motions among citizens. We must give a great amount of credit to the long-term initiatives of African Americans who started this process here in the U.S. and has really brought attention in the entire world. I, for one, was not one in the early days that thought that this was a viable plan. How wrong I was. On the other hand, I uplift my burden and my self-criticism by acknowledging, by continuing to pay attention to the earnest activities of black activists in our communities across the United States who actually moved this from the margins of discourse into the mainstream with Congressman John Conyers as a representative of the aspirations of progressive black citizens, responded to those citizens and brought an initiative into the U.S. Congress, which continues to mature. There are various reparation groups, some affiliated with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, which I'm sure you have talked about and will talk about. But they have played really a catalyzing role that then sees this evolve onto a global stage at a most significant level with citizens across the island republics of the Caribbean, and then their elected representatives taking those aspirations and formulating them into public and international policy. And now Venezuela stepping forth, recalling that Hugo Chavez stood forth before his death to say that not only was he a mestizo mixed with Spanish and Indian blood, but that his grandmother was black, and that he considered himself also an Afro-descendant, spoke very fervently about that wherever he went, and built stronger ties to the continent of Africa by sending a number of black ambassadors to the continent of Africa. And then that has been picked up by his successor, Nicolas Maduro, who also spoke eloquently at this meeting recently this month in Caracas about the widespread importance of Afro descendancy in all, in most, in a good number of the families across Venezuela. So it is a moment in which we are now on a global stage. It is a long, long, arduous path ahead, but we have a dedicated group of veterans who are now providing a platform for a younger generation of activists. And I would ask all in the listening audience, if you are unaware, as I was, or if you're indecisive, as I was at an earlier point of my life, continue to look at the humanistic principles and the clear-headed policies for development of our communities as a result of the history of colonialism and racism. And I think you, too, will find points of entree in which you can participate and complement the activities of the dedicated activists, both here in the Caribbean and now being centered out of Caracas. And Caracas is a pivot that will take this to more broadly and deeply in the community of Latin American and Caribbean nations, as well as into the ALBA countries. And President Nicolas Maduro made a commitment to put this on the agenda of the non-aligned movement, and also to become an active participant on the issue around the African Union.
Excellent. And we only just have a few minutes left because you have to go to another interview, but I want you to just quickly, for our listening audience that is not aware of the UN Decade for People of African Descent, would you say a word about what that is and why it is important that the issue of reparations is being It's not that the persons who designed this really were eager to do this, but in some ways the issue of reparations is being sort of pushed into this in a way that's almost irresistible.
Well, we must recall that in the World Conference Against Racism and Other Forms of Discrimination in 1991 in Durban, South Africa, the United States government led the charge against reparations, saying that it would not participate if the issue of reparations was raised and the issue of the Palestinians was raised, and concluded that the World Conference Against Racism, this was the Bush administration, which carried over into the Obama administration, particularly under Hillary Clinton, dealing with foreign affairs, that the UN World Conference Against Racism was anti-Semitic, and that it was not, and that they would not in any way deal with reparations. I raised the issue of the Palestinians because we now see that front and center, as their as the inhumanity against them is being exposed to the world, and the issue of their own development, their own repair, is also a context in which we look at now. That reparations for the descendants of enslaved Africans and the racism suffered thereafter is now on the agenda of the UN. This is a result of the activity of citizens across the world who stood forth to take on the anti-racist struggle and to turn that into a proactive struggle of development and an invitation to former colonial powers and to non-black allies to participate in the development not only of our communities, but that our communities would be in a better position to advance the legitimate interests of the nations in which we live and the regions in which we live. So it is a monumental step forward against a lot of opposition from the far right as well as from liberal Democratic Party members. We now see that there are a number of people in the U.S. Congress who are signing on to carry forth the work of John Conyers, which I hope that you will talk more about as you have more details than I on that. But that is the context of that pivotal moment in 1991 in which the greatest rewards coming out of that World Conference Against Racism really redounded to Afro-Latinos in Latin America. And now we see that being institutionalized at the level of governance structure and a commitment to bring in other leaders around this. Danny Glover and I are probably off to Brazil later this week and where we will be meeting with the Movement of Landless People and members of the Coordinated Federation of Black Movements, as well as hopefully to see the incarcerated Lula da Silva, who is leading with over 50% in the polls, if they allow him to run for president, in which we again will be talking with our colleagues there who in the black movement who are also carrying the banner of reparations. And, of course, Brazil is where over 100 million Afro-descendants live, officially over 51%, according to the census of the population. So it is indeed a momentous period in which reparations has moved to another level. Still a very, very long road to get to the fruition of this, but we begin to see some of the expressions of what can happen in a number of universities now stepping forward as a result of African-American student activity and professors on those campuses, Georgetown University and others, looking at their very clear hand in the repression and the enslavement and the humanity against African descendants in the United States. And so these are initiatives that this new generation of activists and this new generation of political representatives can and should build on. And people in the listening audience, again, should find whatever our individual ways to make a contribution to advancing this. Some of that may be a material contribution. It may be as simple as talking to your political representative, your council member, saying, why are we talking about this? What is our responsibility for this repair that these communities are taking up that we can complement with?
Well, we appreciate that, and one of the other ways they can also do if they want to get started is by purchasing the premium for the day and using that as an educational tool. So, James Early, as always, we thank you so much for your information incisively put and comprehensively shared. And we look forward to continuing to have you as our resource person here on WBI.
I look forward, and thank you, Ron, and all of your colleagues and all of your supporters at the Institute of Black World 21st Century, and to the radio station for the central role of clear communication and open dialogue and debate that you all bring not only to the New York area community but to our national community. And please send that money in to support the station.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. That was James Early, who has to rush off for another interview. You can see why he's in such demand. He is just a brilliant, brilliant analyst and thinker that I'm honored that we have a role and a relationship with as we do this work around reparations and a number of other issues. Our premium for today, and again, we're just trying to find 15 people at $125 to purchase the premium, which is Stand Up on Truth. Reparatory Justice is Now, a 6-DVD set of hours of information, speeches, and interviews by people like Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, the brilliant young scholar Ta-Nehisi Coates, and, of course, the revered Dr. John Henry Clark. Now, as we were preparing to get James early on, I received a message from the executive assistant for Professor Vereen Shepherd. And she sent an email to me saying, how can we get the premium? In other words, they see this premium as so valuable in terms of the information they have at the Center for Reparations Research, the Mona campus in Jamaica that you've just heard about from Professor Vereen Shepherd herself and from James Early in terms of the connection relationship between the recent conference in Venezuela, the formation of the legal team, and the relationship with that center. They see this as so valuable that they want a copy. They are, in fact, signing up and pledging they want to get a copy of this premium. Now, if they want a copy of this premium, you know you need to have a copy of this premium. So, again, you know, we're striving to get at least 15 people, between now and the next 40 minutes. No, we ain't got 30, for about 30 minutes now, to sign up. And we're lagging. We're lagging. My James Brown, please thing ain't working as strong as I want it to. Because I know there are people out there. I know that there are people out there who can afford this premium. And you've heard the interview, you know, from Vereen Shepherd. Because that's the way I like to do it. I like to have you hear what's going on. I'm best when I can pitch something that I believe in. And I can share with you through other experts, activists, and organizers their feeling, their experience, their engagement. And that's why I bring in people like Dr. Vereen Shepherd, who was all the way there in Bermuda, you know, arguing the case among the people in Bermuda on this thing. This thing is exploding, folks. I have never, ever seen it so ripe, a moment so ripe in my lifetime. And I've been working on reparations all of my adult life, mentored again by Queen Mother Audley Moore, and delighted to say so. And, of course, Danny Glover's engaged in this. And you heard James Early say early on, yeah, he wasn't so persuaded. He was like Ta-Nehisi Coates, who was not also persuaded until he started to dig into it. And as he dug into it, he was converted and now has become one of the most powerful spokespersons, voices, providing not only his passion, but the research that suggests it is not only about enslavement, all of those discriminatory policies since enslavement that have excluded black people, that have harmed black people, that have stunted our ability to reach our full potential, even if we got all these elected officials and millionaires and some billionaires and wealthy entrepreneurs. Yeah, we have those, but we have a huge wealth gap despite all of that. The wealth gap relative to white people is almost zero, and the median annual income, even now, is something like about $69,000 or almost $70,000 for white folks, and it's about $39,000 for black folks. That is a direct consequence, the intergenerational deficits from enslavement and other exclusionary policies that may not affect those of us who live in reasonably well, But I'm telling you, our community as a totality is catching hell. We are underdeveloped. And those within our community who at the bottom are suffering brutally because of this. And we got to do something about that. We must do something about that. Reparations is due to Africans in America. And we're going to fight for it. We need to fight for it. And we need to have the information to arm and equip us to wage that fight. So go to your phones right now. Go to your phones right now, please. 516-620-3602 to get the premium for today. It's $125. Yes, I said it, $125. If I said it was $250, there would be some people who could afford it. There's some who cannot. And so therefore, we are just asking for, and I really want to hit all these numbers, 10, just 10. Out of the thousands and thousands of people who are listening to this show right now, just 10 WBAI buddies. That's people who, with just a contribution of $10 per month or $120 a year, taking out $10 at a time, $10 a month, credit card or savings account, enables you to become a sustaining. That means you helping to build a foundation for WBAI, your credit card or your savings account is how this is done. And there are, again, thousands and thousands of people out there who can afford to do this. So go to your phones right now and sign up at 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Now, there's some of you who can double down for Daniels. That's right. Double down for the professor. There's some of you who can sign up for the $125 and say, well, rather than just be a one-time contribution, I am also going to sign up as a WBAI buddy. So when you call 516-620-3602, inform them of that. Tell them that so that they will sign you up as one who has doubled down for Daniels, for Vantage Point, but most importantly for WBAI. 516-620-3602. Thank you. Thank you. We see some calls coming in. That is so encouraging when you see those calls coming in. It makes you feel good. It makes you want to holler that the calls are coming in. 516-620-3602. We got to do this. We can do this. We will do this because our ancestors expect us to do this. They will be happy that we are doing this. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. The premium. Stand up for truth. Reparatory justice is now a 6-DVD set with speeches and interviews by Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, whom you heard and you can hear. If you hear him, you can tell the passion and the power. And, of course, Ta-Nehisi Coates and the revered Dr. John Henry Clark. And you just listen to Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, you get the point. He is powerful. He just persuades you to get this done. And that's what we need to be about. And of course, I remind you of the words, the memorable words of Professor James Small last week. WBAI is the Malcolm of the media. Wow, that was powerful. And so I'm gonna keep using that because he captured it. He captured the essence of what we should be about by saying that WBAI is the Malcolm of the medium. Go to your phones, friends, comrades, supporters, those of you who've been on the fence, who coming off the fence today, who are finally deciding that, well, I may not go to the front lines, but I can support those on the front lines. I may not be able to go to jail or do a sit-in or any of those kind of things, but I can use the resources that I have because somebody fought the struggle before me. A unfinished struggle, but nonetheless, I am the beneficiary of it because I am now in a job that I would not have had if you understand the history of white supremacy in this capitalist political economy. You would not have been where you are today but for the struggles of people who came before you. And as a result of that, your obligation to share, to make some acknowledgement of the shoulders on of those on whom you stand And that's what this is about. In terms of getting this premium, you can support the struggle just by doing that. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. 15 subscribers to the premium and 10 WBA buddies. I want to see that on the roll call for this week. Vantage Point, 10, at least 10 WBAI buddies, 10. I want to be in the lead, not because it's an egotistical, conceitious thing. It's because, you know, it's righteous competition. And I want to lead the way that our audience on Vantage Point, the people out there heard the word, heard the expression, heard the appeal, and responded. That is my responded. There is nothing more encouraging than that. Go to your phones, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. I am indeed now going to actually take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have a short segment from none other than Don Rojas, the former general manager of WBAI, also former editor of Amsterdam News, the director of communications for the NACP and the Urban League, but most importantly, historically, he was the press secretary for none other than Maurice Bishop, the People's Revolutionary Government of Grenada. After we take this pause, we will be joined by him as he also talks about why it's important that we, in fact, purchase this premium for the day. We'll be right back after this break.
That is a kiss that the British judiciary, on behalf of the British state, established the principle once and for all that African peoples are not human. Well, we know how all of this impacted on St. Vincent. Keep going. We know all of this interesting image of the indigenous peoples who were fighting their resistance and their struggles. We know the story of Châtelet. We know all of this dispossession and the crimes committed against the people on this island. We know that history. But herein comes now the critical issue, emancipation. Emancipation. Who is going to get reparations at emancipation? The slave owners insisted, if you are going to free our property, you pay us reparations. And we want reparations at the full market value of the Africans. We want reparations at the full market value. Every black person in the Caribbean, put the market value on them, and we want compensation at the full market value. And here is an interesting cartoon in the British press at the time. The politicians, the merchants, the judges, the financiers, all the leaders of British society are lining up for their reparations. Because these are the people who own the slaves. The judges, the financiers, the business people, the politicians, these are the people who own the slaves. And they are lining up for their reparations. The Africans are jumping for joy because they are free. But they're not getting reparations. They're getting something called freedom, no reparations. And this cartoonist captured precisely the conversation in the 1820s. Who get reparations, who don't get? That was a brilliant cartoon from the 1820s that depicts the conversation. But now we now have these images to deal with, these legacies. What are we going to do about these images now? The black woman whose child is taken from her and sold? The separation of the black family? Child sold down to one colony, mother sold somewhere else, a father sold somewhere else? That legacy, how do we deal with family now? And to say, black people, that our family values are weak, the fact of the matter is it has taken us from emancipation to rebuild family values, to rebuild the family system, because for 300 years, family was illegalized, family was destroyed. Continue. But this was the kind of family black people were asked to be a part of. Be the servant and the maid of the white family. That is your family. Keep going. This is the European conception of family. The beautiful white woman, her beautiful child, and the black servant. This is a wet nurse who will nurse that baby, who will raise it, take it for a walk in the morning, make sure it's healthy. That was how the Europeans imagined their family.
That was the role assigned to her. This was how white men imagined themselves, to be carried around by black men in this way. Continue. Beautiful images. These are images from slavery. This is an image from Haiti. This is how a white Haitian saw himself, being carried around the plantation by black men. These are images that are embedded in the culture. Keep going. This is what you call a gibbet. For those of you who don't know what a gibbet is a cage. If an African was found to have resisted, to have run away, committed an offense against slavery, he was placed or she was placed in a gibbet. A gibbet is a cage where you were put in there and you were allowed to starve. The birds and the rats would eventually eat you, but you were hung in this cage on the plantation. All plantations had them. These are standard images. Black people, to get their freedom, had to confront a white man with a gun. If you want freedom, confront with a gun, please. If you run away, of course, the dogs came after you. We know that all across the Caribbean, black people were chased by dogs in pursuit of their freedom. These are the images. And artists across the world captured this history. This is one of those beautiful images by a Dutch artist who came to the Caribbean and captured what he saw in the Caribbean. Black people trying to get their freedom, being chased by dogs.
Okay. Again, the voice of Professor Sir Hilary Beckles that we've been featuring. And we've now been joined by Don Rojas, whom I introduced previously in terms of his various roles. Don Rojas, welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Thank you. It's always great to be back on the WBAI waves and to give a shout-out to all the sisters and brothers in the WBAI family. And congratulations to you, Dr. Daniels, for another brilliant program on WBAI, but also on the occasion of your final lecture as a distinguished professor at York College, which I had the privilege, my wife and I had the privilege of attending last Thursday. It was a very beautiful event, and much to your credit. So it's good to be talking with you.
Well, thank you very much. Well, we've had some friends of yours on the air. Professor Vereen Shepherd led the show talking about the Center for Reparations Research, and, you know, she did a brilliant job. And by the way, I received a message, and I shared this with our audience, from her assistant saying that they want to purchase a copy of the premium. They want to know how they can get the premium, as well as the entire interview and show from today. So that's incredible that they want to actually purchase the premium. I wanted you to, in this short time that we have, say a word about three things. One, talk to us about the role that Professor Sir Hilary Beckles is playing in this movement. We've been listening to him throughout the course of the time. You know him, you're aware of him, and by the way, the excerpts that you're hearing are from a presentation in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And this is a DVD, and he's obviously going through a PowerPoint. So when you get the DVD, you will actually be seeing the images and things that he's talking about. But talk to us about the emergence of Professor Sir Hilary Beckles as essentially the voice of the global reparations movement.
Well, you know, this is an extraordinarily gifted brother. He is perhaps the premier public intellectual in the Caribbean region today, and I would say even beyond that. He is a brother who has distinguished himself in the academy. He has risen from the ranks of a lecturer all the way through to what he is today, the vice chancellor of the University of the West Indies, and that means he's in charge, he's the chief administrator, the CEO, or the president of the University of the West Indies, which has close to 50,000 students spread all across the Caribbean region in landed campuses and also in virtual campuses. But beyond his achievements as an academician and as an administrator, he is also a prolific scholar in his own right, the author of several books, Britain's Black Debt, perhaps the most famous of his many books. He's just, by the way, just published a book on West Indies cricket, so you could see how versatile he is in terms of the subject that he tackles. And one of the things that has made him outstanding as perhaps the premier spokesperson for the reparations movement in the Caribbean and indeed around the world is his ability to combine and to integrate the theory and practice.
Right.
You know, he's not just a scholar for the sake of scholarship.
Right.
He's able to combine scholarship with activism.
Right.
And those two qualities have taken him all across the world. He is in demand as a lecturer in major universities, elite universities all across
right.
the world.
Right. Right.
In fact, just a few weeks ago, he was in New York. Giving a lecture at Columbia University. He has spoken over the years at Harvard, at Oxford University in England, universities throughout Africa, and Canada, and Europe.
Addressed the House of Commons and House of Lords,
right.
or whatever, both in the right.
Exactly.
Right.
He gave a presentation, a very gutsy, courageous presentation in the House of Commons a few years ago, in which he took the reparations message directly to Britain's Parliament in their own home, and he called them out for crimes against humanity, which the British slaveholding nation, along with other European nations, were responsible for carrying out the transatlantic slave trade, which the UN, United Nations itself, has described as a crime against
right.
humanity.
Right. Don, would you speak a bit about the young African American scholar whom you've had a chance to
Ta-Nehisi
Coates.
Yes, absolutely. Really, one of the most brilliant young writers on the scene today, and has in fact taken up the cause. As you said, he was sort of a late convert to the cause of reparations and reparatory justice, but now. Since the publication, this was in 2015, I think, 3 years now, his landmark essay, The Case for Reparations, which was published in the Atlantic magazine, which, by the way, still up to today remains the most read article ever published by that magazine.
Wow.
Which is, yes. So, and then, of course, his recent book on the presidency of Barack Obama. But his brother, who is extraordinarily gifted intellectual in his own right, a major public intellectual, who, just like Sir Beckles, is in demand to speak and to lecture at universities all over the country and all over the world. And he continues to lend his prodigious talents as a writer. To this issue of reparatory justice, and we
right.
just have to thank him for that, and applaud him for staying the course on this issue.
Right. And finally, Don, you've been in the trenches here at WBAI. You know how important these pledge drives are.
Oh, absolutely.
And of course, you've been in the middle of also the work that we're doing around reparations, the major conference that we had. Some 2 years ago at York College and different venues in New York, the town hall.
It was exactly 3 years ago, Ron. It was April of 2015, and that really was quite a breakthrough event for the global reparations movement, in the sense that we had representatives from over 22 countries around the world and across the United States, activists, advocates, academics, journalists. It was a truly seminal event,
right.
And helped to propel the movement even further, and gave it more momentum here in the
right.
U.S.
And supported by WBAI, and then of course the town hall meeting
yes.
in Atlanta, the meeting in New Orleans. So I guess
right.
what would you say to our listening audience about the importance of really subscribing to and purchasing a premium, the one that we have today, Stand Up on Truth, Reparatory Justice Now, that has the speeches by Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and, of course, our revered Dr. John Henry Clark.
Right. No, I would strongly encourage sisters and brothers listening to the program today to make the effort, and in some cases it might be even a sacrifice, but it would be well worth investing in this collection of speeches on reparations and reparatory justice. Only at WBAI. There's no other media. There's no other public media that I'm aware of in the U.S. Certainly no other radio station where you can find this kind of material, and where you can and where the station gives you access to this material by making a modest contribution to the sustenance of the station in return for these speeches. So it's a bargain, believe me. It's quite a an extraordinary collection of historical memorabilia. And I certainly urge all of you who are listening to take advantage of this opportunity. It's not going to come by again for a while. So, catch the wave while it's
that's
resting,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
And ride with it, and ride with us, with all of us who are,
that's right,
working hard to keep this reparation movement moving forward. So right, we invite you to not only make a contribution to WBAI, but also to join the reparations movement as it expands.
Right. And Don, before you conclude, I have to say, credit you. You have put together the most extensive online reparations resource center anywhere in the world. So tell people how they can access that resource.
Yes, we are very proud of it. It's on the IBW's website, and the address of that website is IBW21.org. And once you get on the site, the very first page, the home page of the site, you'll find a link to the Reparations Resource Center. And as you said, Brother Ron, it's an amazing resource filled with articles and speeches and lectures and essays and video clips and audio clips and on and on and on, all dealing with the issue of reparations, not only in the U.S., but indeed across the world. So I really encourage you to visit that resource, that online resource. And we are constantly updating it. Every
right,
day or every other day, we add new materials to it, so it's always fresh. So please take time out to visit the IBW website and the Reparations Resource Center that's on there.
Okay. Well, Don Rojas, thank you so much for joining us and helping us today as we push the premium for today. Thank you much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, listening audience, we just have 5 minutes, 6 minutes left. And so in the 6 minutes left, we have to meet or exceed our goal. And we're not there yet on either account, the 10 WBAI buddies, nor the 15 premiums. But we're going to get there in the next 6 minutes. And by the way, so valuable is viewed the premium for today that the reparations, the Center for Reparations Research, Mona Campus, that's located at the Mona Campus in Jamaica. You heard from the chair of the same, Dr. Vereen Shepherd. Her assistant sent an email to say they want the premium. So IBW is going to purchase the premium and donate it as our contribution to the Center for Reparations Research. But the point is, they see it as so valuable that they want it as a part of their package so they can share it with their students, which is how we should use it. You purchase it and you share it. You have coffee clutches, meets and greets, and conversations and so forth using parts of it. And I'm telling you, since it's a DVD collection, you have the visuals of these lectures, the visual, and Professor Hillary Beckles is speaking in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, so you can't see what he's talking about, but I'm telling you, it will blow you away to actually see these images that he's been talking about. So folks, I know we're going to get this done. I'm not even worried about it. We're just going to finish this off. We're going to meet or exceed our quota and our goal, 10 WBAI buddies, and that is people who simply sign up for $10 a month. I'm a WBAI buddy. I give more than $10 a month. I'll share you with that with you. I won't give you how much, but I do more than $10 a month because I can afford to give more than $10 a month. Others can do the same. $25, $50, $75, $100, whatever you can give a month. it helps to sustain WBAI. But at a minimum, $10 a month. And you get a tote bag, you get a membership card, and you also get benefits from retailers who have subscribed with WBAI. Get discounts, if you will. And it comes out of your credit card or your savings account, right? It's painless. It just happens, and that's the best way to do it. I don't have to worry. Oh, did I get my contribution to W? No. It's already done. I don't even feel it. But that's the minimum I do. I also give, in every pledge drive, I give at least $100. At least $100 in every pledge drive. So over the course of the year, I give substantially to WBAI. The BAI Buddy is just my minimum contribution. Now, the premium for today is $125. So $125. But that's not a lot. I mean, I shouldn't even have to, you know, like, really worry about saying that. Because we know there are people out there, you know you can afford it. I'm talking to you. You who have a job, doing reasonably well, and contribute some. Maybe you don't contribute anything, but this is your opportunity, really, to get on board and to learn about this reparations movement. I guarantee you, if you've not been involved, by the time you finish listening to Ta-Nehisi Coates and Professor Sir Hilary Beckles and John Henry Clark, you'll be fired up. You'll be breaking through here. Ron, how can I join? What do I do next? I'm telling you. We are on the verge, as James Early said, of a historic moment. It is converging, and it needs to converge. For the centuries of the Holocaust of enslavement, all of the degradation, disrespect, marginalization, stigmatization of our people, somebody's got to pay. Somebody's got to pay. It has to be repaired. And it's not even retribution. It's not even like we're going to go out here and kill somebody. No, that ain't what it's about. It is like Martin Luther King said, the arc of the universe bends towards justice. It is bending, and we are bending it, and we will be repaired because we bent the arc. Arc ain't going to bend by itself. We're going to have to bend it, and we have to be engaged in that struggle. So go to your phones right now, fire up those lines. There are people waiting for you to, we have people waiting. Thank you for that call. But there are people waiting. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And get the premium for $125. Stand Up on Truth, Reparatory Justice. 6 DVD sets, films, visuals on reparations with speeches by Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, and we've heard from several times today, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and of course the revered Dr. John Henry Clark. And you could sign up and double down for Daniels by saying, I am going to purchase the premium, and while I'm at it, sign me up to become a WBAI buddy for whatever amount, $10, $25, $50, whatever amount. Sign me up. So I will be from now henceforth and forevermore a sustaining member through my checking account or my savings account. My checking account or savings account. I'll be on board. Do that by calling 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Thank you. We're getting there. 516-620-3602. We really love you all. We appreciate everybody who's calling in, who is helping to move things forward. You're part of the resistance. Not only part of the resistance, you're part of the struggle for reformation, to move the struggle forward as we create a stronger people. We struggle to transform a nation that needs to be transformed and contribute to the transformation of a world, because that's who we are as African people. We're not selfish. We're not opposed to anybody else. We are a people who believe in Maat and justice, which is righteousness and justice. And because of that, we will not only, again, deal with the sins that have been committed against us, there will be reconciliation once there is reparations. So go to your phones right now, folks. We're just still short, but we're almost there. You can continue to call even after we go off to the air. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Let's do this. At least 10 WBAI buddies. We're too short. 15 purchases of the premium. We're almost there. Help us, folks. Help me get there. help yourself get there. 516-620-3602. This is the professor signing off. Thank you so much for all of you who've listened and contributed. We'll see you again next week on Vantage Point.
Black people, to get their freedom, had to confront a white man with a gun. If you want freedom, confront with a gun, please. If you run away, of course, the dogs came after you. We know that all across the Caribbean, black people were chased by dogs in pursuit of their freedom. These are the images. And artists across the world captured this history. This is one of those beautiful images by a Dutch artist who came to the Caribbean and captured what he saw in the Caribbean. Black people trying to get their freedom, being chased by dogs. These were images captured by artists. Question now is, why are we focusing on the British government? Well, we are focusing on Britain because Britain was the largest owner of slaves in the Caribbean in the 1830s at emancipation. The British made the most money out of slavery and the slave trade. They got the lion's share. And importantly, they knew how to convert slave profits into industrial profits. You know, some of you, when you get a bonus or a little lump sum of money, you might take home your money and put it in a shoebox and put it under the bed. Right? And you know, women could hide their money in places that nobody can find. And you can hide your lump sum of money. But if you hide your cash at home, what you are doing, you are depriving the banking system of that cash, which I can now go and borrow to start my business. So if you hide your money in the house, the bank is not going to have the money to allow me to borrow that money and pay the interest to start my business. The British knew how to convert the profits from the Caribbean, put the money through the banking system, and convert the Caribbean profits into capital for the industrial development. That was the success of the British. And thus, a proliferation of banks appeared all across Britain, taking the profits from the slave trade, taking the profits from slavery, and allowing other people to borrow that money for industrial development.